While being lost can be both a frightening and frustrating experience, occasionally it can be an adventure that takes you somewhere interesting. But by and large, when we are lost, we are either very annoyed or outright panicked. If we're late, we may be frustrated. If we're truly, deeply lost, such as in a forest by ourselves, we can feel very overwhelmed and frightening. I remember one year we were driving from Dunedin to Orlando, Dunedin to Orlando, having gone to see a Jays game there, and we had a brand new GPS system. And I had navigated us to Dunedin and decided I'll sleep and let my sister navigate us home to Orlando. Well, 3 hours later, I woke up expecting to be driving into Florida, and I looked out the window, and for those of you that have driven in that part of the world, there's a long causeway with water on both sides to get into Dunedin. And I woke up and I looked and I thought, the water's on the wrong side of the car to be going in the direction we should be going in. And then about 30 seconds later, the sign popped up saying, "Welcome to Dunedin." And I don't know how they did it for 3 hours. And then, you know, of course, then there's the family argument and discussion about who's stupider than who and the whole nine yards. Don't think just because we're a pastor's family that we're any better than anybody else. But then the frustrating part of finding our way back through rush hour traffic and the whole nine yards. Well, sometimes we're physically lost like the coin. When you think about it, the coin has no power on its own to find its way back to its owner. It cannot shout, "Hey, look over here," or shine a little brighter to draw attention to itself. The coin is a story of being lost and having no power to change its circumstances. It must wait. Sometimes we too find ourselves in circumstances that we have no power to change. We must wait. Sometimes we are lost like the sheep who strayed from the shepherd. And if you've ever watched shepherding in the Holy Land, it is much more challenging than it is here in Canada. Here in Canada, we tend to open up the barn door and shoo the sheep out into a fenced-in, enclosed pasture land with perfectly grown food for the sheep. But in the Holy Land, the shepherd must lead the sheep along dangerous and winding paths with slippery slopes and unguarded steep inclines. Vegetation is sparse, so it is often a long journey to watering holes and grazing pastures. And the shepherd must time those correctly because he's on the edge of a desert. And if his sheep get too thirsty or too tired before he gets to one or the other, they're in trouble. Sheep that wander away from the shepherd are at risk for injury and predatory animals. And they become frightened once they are separated and darkness falls, especially if they become trapped in the bramble and entangled by their wool. Unlike other animals, they don't have the skills to find their way home. They too must wait. And in the middle of these stories of being lost, there is one word that gives me comfort. It is the word until. We have an until God, a God who searches for us until we are found. In verse 4, it says, "Does he not go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" If you were to go to the zoo with 3 children, do you only come home with 2? Of course not. If you go into the woods with 10 children and only 9 come out on the path, do you not leave the 9 and go searching for the 1? Is that even a question? There is no other option. There is no other reasonable choice but to go searching. And this weekend, we're reminded of a real, live, on-air 9/11 search. The documentaries are up of those families that lost a loved one in 9/11. And they're searched through the streets of New York. Every signpost had a picture of who they were looking for. They searched the pictures that were posted. They went to every hospital. They took down those towers bucket by bucket looking for their loved ones. And this is what Jesus is trying to communicate to an audience that believed that they were the only ones worthy of God's love. And Jesus challenges that. They believed they were the only ones who lived a life holy enough to be God's chosen. And Jesus was saying that there is no power in our own lives, and that it is solely the power of God's love in our lives that searches until He finds us. That is the power that speaks. We are wholly dependent on God, and God is worthy of our trust and love because God seeks until we are found. In verse 8, the example of the woman who loses a coin says, does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? With no windows and an earthen floor, it would have been a challenging search. Don't think that these are just the coins that fall between our sofas that we find when we finally get around to vacuuming that sea of crackers and dust and kids' toys and everything else that gathers there. Jesus picked the most valuable thing that one could possibly have. These coins were the woman's dowry. She was worth literally nothing without these coins. These coins were her future. To not have them to offer in a contract for marriage was to be sentenced to die alone. Her entire future depended on finding the lost coin. I find it irritating when someone's house or someone's property has been destroyed and somebody says, oh, it's just only stuff. Yes, but no. Our stuff fundamentally connects us to who we are. It is part of our memories. It points us towards the future. It holds meaning for us. And I'm not saying we worship or hoard it, but that woman's coins was part of who she was and who she would be. If you were to put it in today's terms, if you knew you had the winning lottery ticket but lost it, would you not turn the house upside down to find it? That's how valuable it was. So let me ask you, have you got an until God? Do you know that God searches for you until you are found? No matter how many times you get lost or feel that you've strayed away or don't have the power to change your circumstances? Or do you think that God is a when or if or a maybe God? Maybe God loves me if I am someone else other than me. Maybe I can be in God's presence and perhaps God is out there somewhere? Or do you believe that God searches for you until you are found? Sadly, if Jesus were to be telling this story today, we are still a culture that both self-excludes, believing that we're not good enough, and looking around us and believing that we should exclude others from the fold. We should build the walls. We should keep certain people out. Make sure everybody's well-dressed, well-behaved. We need to be the church that Jesus talked about and was pointing towards with these parables. Because even more so, the story of the prodigal son, which follows, is an even more horrendous telling of acceptance to that audience. The prodigal son, through foolish choices that were offensive to his audience, took his father's inheritance, an extreme insult, to say, I wish you were dead so I could have your money, and then didn't even do anything worthwhile with it. He completely squandered it on the most vile ways of living that he could tell. This is a shocking story. You couldn't have picked a more repugnant occupation to the Jewish audience than to work feeding pigs, something that was completely against their religious beliefs. And Paul's conversion, he completely names himself as a blasphemer, a man of violence, the least worthy person to be carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ to the early Christian church. When it came time for Paul's conversion and God calls people to convert Paul and heal him, they're like, I'm not going anywhere near that man. I know his reputation. And it was in their bravery, they went anyway, answering the call. Paul believed the murdering of the early Christians was the right thing to do in his zealousness for the Jewish faith before he was converted himself. Scripture actually recorded that he was at the stoning of Stephen and the heart of a cruel movement to torture and kill members of the early Christian church. But God still chose Paul. That is a stupid decision. That doesn't make any sense. Unless you believe that you have a God that searches until. Paul believed absolutely that he was doing the right thing. And it reminds me that we need to be constantly asking ourselves, are we doing the right thing? We may mean to be doing the right thing. We may think we're helping people. But as history has told us over and over again, and thus we are reflecting and looking and searching and seeking, we can be doing a lot of damage in places we mean to be doing good. The father went running towards and embraced his lost son. The sheep didn't know any better, but they were still found. The coin had no power, but diligence and hard work lifted it from the soil of the floor. And the son willingly chose the wrong path. It doesn't matter. God seeks us until we are his and fully his. And it doesn't matter if you're the 100th sheep over and over and over again. That shepherd will come looking for you. In the mystic tradition of Christianity, some writers of poetry and music have envisioned the pursuit of God as the pursuit of the lover. And I'd like to close with a poem from St. Teresa of Avila. It's called, My Beloved One is Mine. I gave myself to love divine, and lo, my lot so changed is that my beloved one is mine, and I at last am surely his. When the sweet huntsman from above first wounded me and left me prone into the very arms of love, my stricken soul forthwith was thrown. Since then, my life's no more my own, and all my lot so changed that my beloved one is mine, and I at last am surely his. May you know the love of an until God today. May you be the ambassador of that love in the world. Amen. I came across the story of a woman. She said, one evening I was going back from a supermarket. As I approached my car, I noticed that some person came and stood beside me. He was the one that could have been considered as a bum. It seemed that he had no car, no home, and no job. I expected that he will ask me for money, but he did not do that. He only said, your car is very nice. After several moments of silence, I replied, thanks. And then the inner voice told me, ask him if he needs help. After a short hesitation, I asked him if he needed any help. His response was astonishing. I will never forget three simple words that I heard from him. Don't we all? It was a true discovery to me. I needed help. Although I had money and a place to sleep, I recognized that I too needed help. Then I opened my wallet and I gave him enough money to get a meal and some shelter for the day. Suddenly I understood that no matter how much money, achievements, luxury things that we have, we all need help. On the other hand, no matter how poor you are, how many material problems you have, you still might offer help to others, still might be giving. Even if it's just a nice word, you can give and it can be priceless to that other person.